It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined this Thursday by Hayden Winks, Josh Norris from Underdog Fantasy. It was last week. This show every week is our Underdog Fantasy show. Of course, this show is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. I can't imagine you listening to this and not having Underdog not downloaded, but if you haven't, go and download it. iOS, Google Play. I think it's called the Google Play Store. I've never had an Android, so I can't imagine.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Promo code GRID. Get on it. We got the Pick'em games. We got Rivals. We have Battle Royale, which Hayden and I talked about two Thursdays ago. I think some good theory on that game if you want to go back and listen to it. But today we're just gonna shoot the shit. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on, and we don't have to talk about salaries or pick games against the spread. We can just chat, man. So how's the football season treating you?
It's good. I feel like after 2 weeks, you're starting to get some data, and then you like question every little small sample thing. So that's kind of like the story for me, at least in week three. I feel like we're back into the groove. Finally, I was in Utah last week, and I felt all out of sorts traveling, and I was stuck in the airport for like 48 hours in a row, it felt like. But now I feel like I'm actually back to normal.
Yeah. Well, traveling in the middle of football season will really get you, dude.
It
will.
No more really weddings, please. You. September weddings, like, come on.
No. So I'm getting married, and that was one of the things that I said, is I was like, absolutely no September, like not September, not October, not November, I'm not going to do it to my friends. I'm not going to do it to myself. Like, we are just, I cannot possibly do this to the people that that I know and love. So that's a big one.
It's May for me next year. Like it's not moving out of May. Like that's like the ideal time.
Yeah. So I think the 49ers backfield has now become this super interesting talking point, because Raheem Mostert and Trey Sermon go in the top 100 picks. Mostert out for the year. Sermon gets his first career touch, fumbles, and immediately gets injured. Not great. Not a great result there. He immediately goes back on the bench. But Elijah Mitchell got injured in that game, and they played him anyway. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He's officially listed as questionable for the 49ers game. They signed Lamar Miller. They signed Kerryon Johnson. They signed Trenton Cannon, who was active last week. He's more of a special teams guy. And they signed this fella, Jox Patrick, who is, like, I think, going to be a thing. I think regardless, if Elijah Mitchell does not play, I am officially anticipating Jox Patrick being a thing.
I have not watched him outside of the clip that you posted for your morning engagements, which I was very thankful for. I think let's start from the top. If Elijah Mitchell is out there, I think he's going to be the starter.
Smash.
It was very, very clear. But the problem is that they thought he had a stinger, and that was like kind of like a temporary issue. And then he didn't practice on Wednesday, and now they're thinking that it's more than a stinger. So I don't know if that's like an AC joint injury or something else in the shoulder, but all of a sudden he seems more questionable than Trey Sermon, because Trey Sermon at least was limited on Wednesday. So I think that you should be trying to trade for Trey Sermon. I think that there's a chance that he starts this game if Elijah Mitchell can't go. But they haven't trusted Trey Sermon at all yet. So it's very up in the air. I think that Trey Sermon's actually a decent player. Obviously, I don't know what happened in the late training camp, but if he's available and Elijah Mitchell isn't, I think I'm going to be ranking Trey Sermon pretty highly pending on the news.
Yeah, I think that seems reasonable. My concerns with Sermon are that he feels like a guy to me, and maybe you disagree, but like so he went to Oklahoma, so I got to watch him for 3/4 of his college career before he transferred, and there would always be someone else who would come in the backfield and look better, right? You know, Kennedy Brooks, sometimes the fullback Jeremiah Hall would look better than him. Like he really is not a particularly special player, and he was still in a timeshare at Ohio State. And then the whole being a game day inactive, being behind Elijah Mitchell, like Trenton Cannon and him got the same number of carries. That was weird. Them desperation signing all these other running backs. Like if you feel good about Sermon, and you have Cannon, you probably don't need to add like four other running backs, which they did. That was weird. It's just, this story is kind of breaking my brain.
To me, I think that's like kind of bad news that maybe Elijah Mitchell, they're like more concerned with for this week, at least. And that's sure. why they're bringing in all these other guys. So it's, we really don't know. And I think this is going to be something where like, we'll hopefully Adam Schefter comes through for us at midnight on Saturday, or we get like depth chart news from the always just perfect 49ers beat reporters. And that's what we're going to have to go on. But for right now, I'm guessing that Trey Sermon's going to start. And I'm trying to trade for Trey Sermon in all my redraft leagues. Like I even offered Elijah Mitchell for Trey Sermon straight up, and I got denied this week, which I thought was a kind of interesting trade. But
I would not do that. If I had Trey Sermon and you offered me Elijah Mitchell, I would snap that.
Yeah, I posted on Twitter and it was literally 50-50, and I'm just like a Trey Sermon truther. I think that he's actually going to be pretty good at the game. And Elijah Mitchell's like, to me, he's really bursty, and I think they're trying to get him in that Raheem Mostert role, but I just don't think that he's going to be Raheem Mostert. And I think eventually like Trey Sermon just is like too big, and he ran the same exact stuff at Ohio State, and I think that's why they drafted him. So I'm thinking that in the long term, Trey Sermon's going to actually get some opportunity. But I would love to know why he was healthy and active. Like, we just haven't gotten anything outside of he's just not as good. And like, to me, that's like, that's ambiguous.
But what if that's the answer? What if the answer is literally, we don't think he's that good?
But like, so like all throughout OTAs and all throughout preseason, even like preseason week three, like the dress rehearsal, he plays with the first team offense. Elijah Mitchell and the rest of these people never get it. And then all of a sudden, like just Trey Sermon is just like not even as good as friggin' Jermichael Hasty. Like, to me, there's like something that we haven't, maybe it was like fumbles in practice. I don't know like what else it could be. But I'm not willing to write off Trey Sermon yet.
I'm not writing him off, but I think the Mitchell Mostert comp is just like too easy, and Mitchell looks so good in week one. I also wonder if all of this will bring in the Trey Lance experience a little bit earlier. If they're just like, we are just getting crushed with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing screen passes to Kyle Juszczyk. Yep. Like, we just got to do something else. Like, I actually think the Packers are going to run the 49ers out of the building. I have the Packers money line. They're dogs, but I mean, imagine Jimmy Garoppolo down 10 points, like trying to match Rodgers throw for throw. Like, it's just going to get really ugly. So I can see it.
I think the running back fiasco is just a distraction from Shanahan turning George Kittle into Jeff Swaim this year. Ugh. I mean, it's like he's not even running routes like on like 90% of the dropbacks. I think it was like 75%. And they're just like, it's like a bunch of screens, and they're just like using him as a blocker. It's so frustrating. I'm at the point where I think like, he's probably closer to like tight end 5 overall than like tight end 3. Like, to me, I would rather have Hockenson straight up.
I'd rather have Hockenson. And honestly, Andrews hasn't done it yet, but Andrews is going to score 10 touchdowns. Yeah. Like, so like that's coming. And I just don't know if it's going to happen for Kittle.
But you're right. This is the week for them to like turn on George Kittle. Like, if they're going to be down or it's going to be a close game, like this is the week where you have to unleash George Kittle. So if it doesn't happen this one, this is like, I think it's like officially time to start panicking with George Kittle. But I think he's going to have a big week this week.
Yeah. What about Ayuk? You have any thoughts there? Would you be trying to send lowball offers for Ayuk, or do you think that that he has dusted himself off in the eyes of the coaching staff?
Well, coming into the year, the problem I had with Ayuk is just it's a like volume game. And if Debo got hurt, then Brandon Ayuk can for sure go to the moon. But there's like three guys, and there's really only room for like two pass catchers in this like slow paced run heavy offense. And basically all of Brandon Ayuk's production last year is in the games that George Kittle or Debo Samuel was out. So I'm not sure. I'm wondering if we just like kind of like vaulted Brandon Ayuk up, like pretending that he's better than what he is. And maybe he's just going to be the number two behind Debo Samuel. So to me, I'm not like trying to like chase Brandon Ayuk, like in like trade offers. I for sure would not drop him. But like, I mean, there's no way you can start him this week unless like you're really, really desperate. I think he only ran around on like 54% of dropbacks last week.
Yeah. And I will say, if he has another bad game and you can trade like James White for him or something, I don't know, I might do that, because something happens to Debo. They turn him back into a full-time player. They go to Trey Lance. Like, there's still enough avenues, and he would definitely be a guy I would be wanting to trade for in dynasty leagues if you think someone was wanting to paper hand him a little bit, because, you know, again, we believe in Trey Lance. We think he's going to be really good. So that seems like an interesting
spot. I got a question for you, though. If let's assume that Trey Lance is going to be the starter in the next like couple weeks here. Is that good news or bad news for Debo, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, just for fantasy purposes? Like, to me, I think they're going to even run the ball more. And I'm guessing in the red zone, they would just run the ball more with Trey Lance. But there's also the upside that Trey Lance is just way better of a passer than Jimmy G. So it's kind of like a conundrum. I'm not sure that like Trey Lance, like all of a sudden just sends George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk to the moon when he gets in there. I'm concerned just like the overall like process of Shanahan and like what he wants to do with Trey Lance. Like I'm worried that's like it's like the RG3 days, which is sick for Trey Lance, but less sick for like everybody else.
Well, the thing is you just know that what you've got with Jimmy, and it's this really low volume offense where probably on any given week, only one of Ayuk, Debo, or Kittle can have a good game.
Right.
Whereas there at least is the, it could be anything, even a boat with Trey Lance where maybe they throw 32 times a game and they're, you know, doing lots of innovative stuff with like, you know, like moving Trey Lance out of the pocket and like kind of like what the Ravens do with Lamar, where Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews are both going to be fine for fantasy with like a little bit of tertiary value to Sammy Watkins too, because when they do throw, it's more efficient. That's kind of the hope there.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with them. Let's talk about the Falcons. I still think Kyle Pitts is going to do it, even though Matt Ryan looks like shit. Like, let's just be honest about it. He looks terrible. I actually think Matt Ryan being bad is way worse for Calvin Ridley than it is for Kyle Pitts. Cause like 7.5 targets per game for the rest of the season for Kyle Pitts probably makes him like the tight end 5, like probably pays him off. Whereas Ridley with a lowered volume and lowered efficiency is, you know, definitely should not have been taking him over Metcalf and Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and stuff like that.
There was a play against the Bucks last week where Ridley was like on the perimeter running a deep route and Matt Ryan steps up in the pocket. There's nobody around him. It's just him up there. And he tries to throw the ball. I'm not even kidding, like 45 yards in the air. And Calvin Ridley has to stop completely. And then he just gets absolutely lit up by the corner and safety. It was like one of the worst balls of the week. And I watched a ton of Ben Roethlisberger. It was not a good week for Matt Ryan. And like you said, last year, Calvin Ridley was a lot of it was just like deep outbreaking routes where they were just like undefeated. And if Matt Ryan can't hit those right now, I don't know. It's not a good look. And I really think that Arthur Smith is just like not going to give up with trying to run the ball early. Like that's just like kind of what they were doing with Mike Davis in week one. Then they got Cordarrelle Patterson involved. So it seems like they're already trying to get into a gimmicky offense in week two, which is just like not good at all. So for me, Calvin Ridley's still like a wide receiver 1. Kyle Pitts, I think, is like perfectly fine. Like maybe this is like more checkdowns to him. But definitely worried about like the Falcons, like trying to compete this year. Like first 2 weeks were really, really bad. And the defense is like maybe even worse than it was last year.
And I don't think any of those things are going to get better. Like, I don't think Matt Ryan is going to find arm strength. The way that they could get better is better play calling. Just that that Arthur Smith watches the film and he's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start doing this concept or that concept. And we're going to do more shallow stuff. And like, you know, Kyle Pitts is going to be a bigger part of the game plan. And we're going to be given, you know, CPAT's going to be the jet motion guy. And honestly, maybe they go to Gallman too. Like Gallman hasn't been active yet, but it would not surprise me if we start seeing some more of him. I feel bad about Calvin Ridley. Like Calvin Ridley to me already looks like a guy who was overdrafted because I don't know if the sheer target volume is going to be there, right? Like, you know, like 190 targets or whatever over 17 games. And it definitely looks like the efficiency is not going to be there.
Yeah. It's the efficiency, like the air yards, all that stuff, I think it's just going to be there. It's just like a lot of those stuff where Calvin Ridley was awesome last year is just going to be much harder for him. And like Russell Gage is like literally offering them nothing. Like his yards per out run this year is like beyond brutal. And like next man up's like Olamide Zaccheaus. Like it's not good.
Yeah, the Russell Gage stuff is not great. A lot of people were pamping those bags and it's not going to end well. Like Russell Gage is going to have like 65 targets, 42 receptions, 418 yards and one touchdown at the end of the year. It's going to be really bad.
I think on Underdog his ADP was literally right next to Rondale Moore. It was like
He went ahead of Rondale. He went ahead of Terrace Marshall. He went ahead of Henry Ruggs. I mean, just like these obvious decisions. We should talk about Carr. Is Derek Carr good now?
Yeah, I honestly think so. If you look at it, just like his EPA per dropback and like accuracy and all that stuff from last year, there was like kind of signs that he was like really turning it on. And this year, the offense is like completely changed. They're not using play action at all. He's like only in shotgun. And the thing that's like really changed is like, it just like bombs away. Like he's throwing the ball intermediate and deep, like all the time. Like his ADOT is way up. And I don't know if that's just like Henry Ruggs. They're like, they're more confident in him, but that's their, I think they're second in neutral pass rate right now, which is like absurd. And obviously that's a little bit because Josh Jacobs was out, but Derek Carr is just dropping back and looked really confident. And I think like one of the biggest winners of week two was Henry Ruggs, just because they were using him all over the field. And if the Raiders aren't going to be like 28th in neutral pass rate, like they were the last couple seasons, like that's where Henry Ruggs can have like 7-8 targets. And if he's as good as we think, then all of a sudden he can be like flirting with like wide receiver 3 flex numbers.
I mean, I need it. Ruggs, one of my most drafted players. And this is basically the thesis behind the play, just that Gruden would figure it out eventually. You know, you spend, but the number 11 overall pick on him, I think. And like you saw on the touchdown last week, like he is still that fast relative to NFL defenders. Like he can get behind the best corners, the best safeties. He's faster. He's not like a great route runner. You know, like he's not like you're not going to watch highlights of him like shaking guys out of their cleats or whatever, but he is, he's just so fast. And that is a non replaceable NFL skill.
Yep. And at Alabama, a lot of his touches were like some jet sweeps, some bubble screens, like some slants where he would just like rip off yards after the catch. And like, he literally never had that last year at all. And I'm thinking that like his injury and then like not getting the training camp stuff from last year, like really hurt him. And this year, like, Gruden, like every single press conference has been like, we need to get Henry Ruggs going. He needs to be the best rookie receiver from last year. Like, to me, I think Henry Ruggs is a big time winner early in the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that is true. The Chargers are very interesting because Herbert has looked very good as a passer, but he was being drafted as the quarterback 8. He doesn't have a rushing touchdown through 2 games, and he has 11 rushing yards, right? So he runs for 250 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns last season. You're getting none of that production through 2 weeks. And Keenan Allen looks like finally, you know, Keenan Allen's played this 9-year career with like a bunch of like terrible other wide receivers next to him. And it finally looks like someone is taking a bite out of his apple in terms of, you know, like a 30% target share, because Mike Williams is being used all over the field. He's being targeted at all depths. He scores that touchdown he scored against the Cowboys was a grown man touchdown. Oh, yeah. And we've kind of always felt like Mike Williams could do this. He's had a season with 11 touchdowns. He's had a season where he's led the NFL in yards per reception. Like he might just be a real, real, like kind of post hype, right? Kind of like Robert Woods, actually. You know, Robert Woods didn't really break out until his second contract. And we're seeing that happen now with Mike Williams, I think.
It was kind of like coming into the year, it's reminding me of Corey Davis, where you have like top 10 pedigree. He's always been like efficient, like a yards per target basis, but like never got the volume. And then like all of a sudden you have a coaching change for Corey Davis. You had a quarterback change. And then all of a sudden, like, you're unlocked in a way that you've never seen it. And like Mike Williams is like on a way another level than Corey Davis was last year, because like the Chargers right now are top 5 in neutral pace and neutral pass rate. And we know Herbert's good. So it's, to me, like, I think like we really need to evaluate like Mike Williams, like all the way, like top 15 wide receivers. The volume is like perfect. And like the red zone production obviously is going to be there. He's the best red zone threat. So like, to me, Mike Williams, like, is, I think, a legitimate like top 20 guy with plenty of upside. And I think that Justin Herbert and the way that the offense is orchestrated right now could keep Keenan, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler at like high end values.
Yeah, but are you worried that Herbert was being overdrafted? Because I'm a little worried. I think now he looks amazing as a passer, but I wonder if the volume will be there. And it looks like, you know, basically no rushing production at this point.
To me, like, rushing production in 2 week sample seems like very volatile compared to like, because a lot of that stuff is just like, oh, he broke off like a 25 yard run,
right?
You know, and like if that would have happened in week one, we've been talking about this. Like, to me, that the fact that the Chargers are 5th in neutral pace and like number 4 in neutral pass rate, and you're getting a breakout season on Mike Williams, to me is like very bullish for the Chargers. But Maybe they don't run less. I don't know why he wouldn't run less. Maybe like the offensive line is too good for him not to scramble now. But like at the same time, that leaves like 35 touchdown Justin Herbert seasons like in the open too.
Right. Jalen Hurts. Thoughts on our dude, Jalen Hurts. I mean, I talked about him a little bit with Josh last week, but you know, I mean, they lose to the 49ers. That's all right. The 49ers are a really good team. I think he got 22 points on underdog with only one touchdown. I think he had 10 for 83 as a rusher. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that I'm feeling very bullish about is he's looked competent enough passing at all depths, right? He throws the beautiful one to Rager last week where Rager stepped out. But I think there is like a 2% chance he gets benched at some point. And for a while there, it looked, I mean, you know, they're talking about Deshaun Watson. They trade for Gardner Minshew. Like, people were shook on Jalen Hurts' ADP.
Yeah, I thought it needed to drop just because like Trey Lance and Justin Fields were being drafted like 50 spots later. And it's basically the same exact bet. But Jalen Hurts is interesting because he's just always late on his throws, but he doesn't panic in the pocket. Like Sam Darnold a couple of years ago, or like Zach Wilson last week, like their feet are all out of sorts. Jalen Hurts like never has that problem, and he breaks the pocket like perfectly. That's why he was like scrambling for his life last week. It's just like he just needs to figure out the timing, and he needs something from like Quez Watkins or Jalen Rager. But I'm with you. I think that Jalen Hurts looked fine. Last week was kind of a struggle in the second half. But for like fantasy purposes, like we like truly do not care. And the fact that their offensive line is now all of a sudden getting more banged up, predictably so, I think that he's just going to scramble even more.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on what Devonta Smith and Jalen Rager have done this far? Or you feel like, I'll admit that it looks like I was wrong about Devonta Smith. Like he looks like he is ready for the NFL, which I find a little surprising.
I thought Devonta Smith was going to be really good just because like he's so experienced. He's so smart. I think he's going to shred against zone coverage and just like be the check down guy for Jalen Hurts. And like, I just have never seen it with Jalen Rager. Like even like at TCU, like his junior year, like it was so boom bust. And all of it was like very quarterback driven, but to me, he was just like a one trick pony, like super explosive north, south, but like kind of never brought anything to the table. And like Devonta Smith is literally the exact opposite of that. So as long as like Devonta Smith doesn't like get banged up because he's too skinny, like I think that he's going to be like a 28-30% target share guy. Like in the second half of the season, I think he's that good.
Yeah. I hope that he is that good. I actually have Devonta Smith and Jalen Hurts on that stack on one of my main event teams. And it looks like one of my only teams that's actually any good, which is funny because I didn't even want him. I also am definitely keeping a candle on for Rager, who, you know, I mean, just a very difficult rookie season. Gets injured, doesn't have a preseason. Carson Wentz plays like, I mean, Carson Wentz is so bad. I'll never get over the shuffle pass interception that he threw last week.
Yeah.
Like one of the worst plays I've ever seen a professional quarterback make. And Rager is a guy who was like, you want to talk about guys going after Russell Gage, like Jalen Rager was going after like Byron Pringle for a little bit. Like, I mean, people just had completely left this dude for dust, and he still looks the part to me.
His ADOT's really low, and they're like trying to get him going on like screens and stuff. I just like, I don't know. Like, I just don't think that he's ever going to be like a guy that's going to be getting open 10 yards down the field. Like, he's going to have a couple splash plays because he's that fast.
Right.
I don't know, man. Like, I just don't see it with him. But I will continue to be wrong on film takes all the time. I'm pro Devonta, anti Jalen Rager. We'll see.
Okay. Good to know. What about the Rams backfield? Again, to me, the film takes, it's difficult. I just see that Daryl Henderson plays 100% of the snaps in the first half of both of their first two games. Now, again, Sony comes in, looks good, but he came in because Daryl Henderson got banged up. He got a rib injury. Sounds like the Rams are optimistic that he's going to be able to play, but of course this opens the door where Henderson looked like a guy who was just going to get all these touches until he got hurt. He just got hurt really early.
And it's unfortunate because the reason why they traded for Sony Michel is like there was all these quotes that, oh, we think Henderson's good, but he always is injured. And then like in week two, like he gets injured. So like I wonder if like already those like high snap rate games are already going to be dusted just because like the exact situation that the Rams were kind of dreading would happen, it happened immediately. I don't know, like Sonny Michel kind of looked okay last year. He kind of looked okay in the preseason. I thought he was fine this week too. So I would be kind of nervous for Daryl Henderson. I don't think that we're going to see like 90% Daryl Henderson the rest of the year. I think it's going to be a kind of a committee, which is unfortunate because I think that Henderson could have had like a top 10 fantasy season if things all aligned. So we'll see. This is not the week to like kind of figure things out though. Like the Bucks, like the offenses playing the Bucks literally don't even try to run the ball. Like I'm looking, their neutral pass rate right now is at 83% pass against the Bucks, which is absurd. Like you never, the Bills run the ball more than the Bucks see runs against them. So I wouldn't be like rushing to play Daryl Henderson or Sonny Michel, like regardless of injuries this week.
Yeah. I mean, Sonny, well, that's actually interesting. Would they throw the ball to Sony at all? Or are they just going to pelt Woods and Cup and Jefferson with like 35 targets? Yeah.
This is the Robert Woods week. Like people have been every stream I do, like one of the number one questions, like, what do I do with Robert Woods? Like Cooper Cups looks like a savage. Like I think that Cooper Cup going off is just like good news for Robert Woods. Like we've seen like what Matthew Stafford could do that Jared Goff wasn't. And there's like no reason to me that Robert Woods would all of a sudden be dust and the Cooper Kupp just turns into like an elite player. Like I think that they have the like just as good of chances of like finishing as wide receiver one, and just like a 2 week sample. This is like the perfect opportunity where Robert Woods probably gonna see like 10 targets and some rushes. And I think that he has like just as good of odds as Cooper Kupp going off.
Do you think that the Rams can win this game? My hot take is that the Rams are actually the best team in the NFC, and that they are actually a good bet in the futures market. I think they're like 13-1 or whatever in the futures market, which feels, I mean, if they beat the Bucks, like, and no one else in the NFC is that good.
Yeah. To me, it's the Bucks and the Rams. And then there's like a big step below that. And yeah. I'm very bullish on Stafford. The problem with the futures market stuff though, is the NFC South looks really bad with the Falcons and Saints looking dreadful. And the Rams have to go against the freaking 49ers, Cardinals, and Seahawks. So like the odds that the Rams have a better record than the Bucks in the regular season to me doesn't seem that great. So that means like you're betting on the Rams beating the Bucks on the road, which doesn't seem that great. But I'm totally with you. Like I think that the Rams are legit contenders, and I wasn't that surprised that they opened up as slight favorites over the Bucks here.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, the thing about the Rams is that they're like a stars and scrubs
team. They're like an option team that spends all their money on Christian McCaffrey and Darren Waller and Lamar Jackson. And then after that, it gets real thin. You know, they have
Donald and Ramsey, they have Kupp, they have Woods, they have Stafford. And then is the offensive line good for them? Honestly, I literally don't even know.
It's well, even like the last couple of years, like the offensive line, like just on paper doesn't look good, but because they get the ball out so fast and that's just like Sean McVay, like Jared Goff, like never got sacked like ever. And like that, I have the Bucks defense and I'm not starting them this week just because they never get sacked. And it's like going back a couple of years and like Jared Goff isn't like avoiding pressures or anything like that. Like he's inviting them, but they just get the ball out so quick. So I don't think the offensive line matters that much, especially if they're going to be as like high as they are in neutral pass. Like I think it's just going to be bombs away. And like, that's why, like, I think Robert Woods, like one of the easiest buy lows that you can possibly have right now.
Right. All right. Marvin Jones Jr. Is this guy just going to eat my lunch? Is Norris just going to dunk on me on this one? Like, is Marvin Jones going to have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns on this terrible football team?
I honestly think so. Like, it's just like the Jaguars defense obviously going to be atrocious. Like Urban Meyer is not going to figure that part out. If you watch Trevor Lawrence, like everything's just downfield. Like he has just like those, like, I don't know who else had, like, there's like sometimes like Phillip Rivers just goes full YOLO and just like intermediate toss, like in garbage time. And he doesn't care if it gets intercepted. Like that's what I'm seeing with Trevor Lawrence, except that he has like Justin Herbert's arm. So to me, it's just gonna be like Shark and Marvin Jones trading off huge weeks. And we'll see what they can do with, Visca. I'm just very concerned with Visca just like only getting bubble screen targets, and like I'm concerned that he's not fast enough for Urban Meyer. Like I feel like Urban Meyer could easily hate Visca, and just like Daryl Bevel just like loving Marvin Jones the entire year.
Yeah, I mean Visca's not gonna happen. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Like if this dude has a 3.5 yard average depth of target and Trevor Lawrence, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has been really bad. Like let's just be real. He has not been good through two games. He's been like historically non-accurate. the results have not been that more encouraging than what Zach Wilson has done for the New York Jets. Like, he really does not look good. And it's hard to say, okay, this is Trevor Lawrence's fault. This is Daryl Bevel's fault. This is Urban Meyer's fault. I mean, I think Daryl Bevel and Urban Meyer have a big hand in it, but Lawrence is not overcoming that at this time.
Yeah, I think that the like passing yards will be there just because just like the game scripts are going to be so favorable for Trevor Lawrence. And I think that he still will be an accurate quarterback. But like the entire unit just looks completely out of sorts. Like even like some of the pass protection stuff in the preseason, like they would just like pan over to Urban Meyer and like he would just be kind of like drooling at the mouth after Trevor Lawrence got beat up for like the fourth straight dropback. So it's going to be a bunch of garbage time, but I do think that like DJ Shark and Marvin Jones being top 10 in air yards each right now, like I think that's like somewhat sustainable just because the Jaguars are so bad.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they are going to come into all of these games and they are going to be huge dogs. They're not going to be able to run the ball effectively at all. The offensive line is terrible. Like teams are going to be up 10-0 on them immediately. Yep. Tough scene for the James Robinson third round drafters. Very tough.
Yeah, that is pretty tough. Cause I think that goes into like Trevor Lawrence, like not eyes downfield. He's never going to throw the ball to Visca or James Robinson. At least James Robinson was out there in week two, like more so than Carlos Hyde. But like, I mean, you're not starting him unless you see it. And I just don't think that you're ever going to see it. To me, it's just going to be like DJ Shark's going to be in the Hermsmeyer buy low model every single week. And the air yards are just going to be there. And then like one in every 4 weeks, he's going to be like in the DFS Millie Maker. And like the other weeks, you're just going to be like saying that he had 180 air yards. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. Are they gonna have to redact him? Is Hermsmeyer gonna have to redact DJ Shark? I feel like he might have to redact him.
It'll be close. I don't have like a good take on like DJ Shark. Like I don't know if he's good or not. Like we've kind of seen it, but like we also have like really not seen it. And like his prospect profile wasn't very good. So like I don't know if he's like actually good or not. Like I don't watch the Jaguars enough, thankfully, to like have a strong DJ Shark take.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is pretty fair. Let's close it out here. Let's just try and give some people hope at tight end, because tight end is tough. Kittle looks bad. It looks like Kelce, Waller, Hockenson, and maybe Gronk, but no, like, does any person on the earth believe Gronk is going to keep this up? Like everyone is just like, nope, Gronk's old. He's not going to keep it. You know, eventually they're going to turn it back over to Godwin, Evans, and Brown. Like, just no way this production is able to sustain. But even if you include Gronk in that group, it's very hard to tell yourself a story about so many of these guys.
I would say that like Noah Fant looks all right though. Tyler Higbee's at least running more routes. He like had basically a goose egg last year or last week, but like Higbee's in a good offense running the routes that you're looking for. Noah Fant, at least with Jerry Jeudy out, has like a 20% target share. So you can create a little storyline there. Like Mark Andrews looks tough. I don't know what's going on with Mark Andrews. Like all of a sudden, like Marquise Brown is like had like a 28% target share out of nowhere. And then Rashad Bateman's coming back soon. So I'm kind of concerned about Mark Andrews and George Kittle, like at cost. And I think the Gronk take is like, he's actually good. Like, I think he's just like, get over it. Gronk is back. And like, I'm going to be ranking him like as a borderline top six guy this week. And like, I'm just going to get over it. Like, I don't care how old he is. He looks really fucking good again.
Yeah. Logan Thomas. I mean, were we wrong, or was I guess I don't know your opinion. Was I wrong about Logan Thomas? I mean, he scores the touchdown in week one, 7 targets against the Giants. You could say that stuff is going to end when Curtis Samuel gets back, but who even knows when Curtis Samuel is going to get back?
It's like the same thing as last year, you know, like where he has like 90% routes, all the slot stuff, like he's getting targeted, but like it's going to be super inefficient and he's going to finish as like the tight end 9. Like I would feel way more comfortable with like Tyler Higbee's upside and Noah Fant's upside than Logan Thomas. But at least you didn't draft Dallas Goedert if you drafted Logan Thomas. So that's good news.
Hey, I mean, they're like, it might happen. It might happen for Goddard, because Zach Ertz is on the COVID list, right?
Yeah, for this week. But then like Zach Ertz is going to go out there and run more routes than Dallas Goedert again, which is like beyond nuts. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen for Goddard. And I don't think it's going to happen for either of the Patriots guys unless one of them gets
injured. No, it's definitely not happening for the Patriots guys. That is 0% to come out. Let's see. I haven't even checked Goddard's playing time. So through two games, 52 snaps, 38 snaps, 7 targets. He got a touchdown in week one. No, I think it might happen for Goddard because this is the thesis behind the play. Hurts just gets a little bit better as the season goes on, right? There's a little bit less panic. He gets into not even a groove, but just the coach, like, right, Nick Sirianni, this is the first time he's been a head coach. Just like they kind of all are learning over, which is what happened with Dak, by the way. Dak and Kellen Moore did this where they got better as they tried things. Like they just tried a bunch of stuff, and the Eagles are kind of more that way because their wide receivers are not as good. So they're just going to be throwing stuff against the wall. Like we're going to see some weird offensive stuff from the Eagles. That's a prediction on, I think they play on Monday night. Like we're going to see some weird offensive stuff from the Eagles.
Yeah, but Dallas Goedert's going to be right in there blocking as an inline guy to set it all up. My only note I had with Goddard is that he's 27th in routes at tight ends. Like
seems bad.
That's an issue. That doesn't seem that good. But he's at least good, you know.
Maybe. Do we really know? Do we really know how good guys are? Like that's something I'm feeling right now through this fantasy football season is like I have already through 2 weeks gotten so many things wrong. It's like I don't really know who is that good or not that good. Like wide receivers, you can figure it out because bad wide receivers just never get the ball, but other than that, it's just very hard to figure out.
We need to find the receipts. Somebody, I don't know, a couple years ago must have called Dallas Goedert, it had to be like Silver or something, like a top five real life tight end, and then every single fantasy podcast when you talk about Goddard, you're like, oh, he just needs Ertz out of the way. He's a top five real life tight end. And like, I think we need to like sit back and like watch him. And like, actually, I don't think that he is like a top five tight end.
If he was, we would know.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that I feel. If Dallas Goedert was really that good, they would have found a way. They would have just cut Ertz, or they would have traded him for a 7th round pick or whatever. Yeah, like Zach Ertz would not be on the team if he was really that good.
For sure. And like, to me, like Noah Fant, like I'm like watching this, I'm like, yes, like this guy looks like a real life top five tight end. Like this guy's just like moving like crazy. I don't know. Goddard, I think, is going to be forever the tight end 11 in fantasy.
I mean, he was a guy I did not draft at all on Underdog because like, what was the point? I don't know. You had to take him over Ruggs or Hardman. Hardman looked like a real wide receiver for the first time in his 3-year NFL career. For the very first time, it was very impressive to me to see him just run like a normal button hook and catch the pass and get down. Like that was like, I'm not even kidding. Like that was like a holy shit moment for me.
That was a huge win. And he hit the routes are there. So like, I think that Mecole Hardman, like I think both sides of the argument are going to be right. He's going to have some boom weeks. I think he's going to be way better if Tyreek Hill is out because he's still not getting like that many routes. But at least he's out there. Like the Chiefs at least trust him to like not be a 40% player. And that's like exactly what was happening in the playoffs last year. So
yeah, they were playing Pringle over him.
Yeah, not great. But I think that Hardman's going to be fine as like a wide receiver 5. Like good luck figuring out which week it is. But I think he's actually going to be out there enough to like be okay at cost at least.
Yeah. All right. Tell the people about everything that you're putting out on Underdog this week, everything they need to go check out before we get out of here.
I'd say just go try Underdog Pick'em, try Underdog Battle Royale. It's a new DFS game. There's going to be new games coming. So if you haven't used promo code GRID yet, you're definitely missing out.
Yeah. All right, everyone, follow Hayden, download Underdog, promo code GRID. Get on there, get be in the Battle Royale streets. You'll see me in there this weekend. I'm a big fan of the game, and we will be back next week.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step 4, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
21 plus terms and conditions apply.